Hello there, everybody. Welcome on into Locked On Patriots for Tuesday, October 2nd, 2018. Mark Schofield back in the big chair for this Tape Tuesday installment of Locked On Patriots. A little bit different. We're on a condensed week, so our Tape Tuesday discussion is going to focus on the Indianapolis Colts. We don't have time to look back. We can't look in the rearview mirror right now, friends. We got a game in a couple days that we got to get ready for. Before we do that, reminder to follow me on Twitter at Mark Schofield. Check out the work at places like InsideThePylon.com, where I'm one of the head writers, Pro Football Weekly, where I'm a scheme analyst, covering Mitchell Trubisky and his trials and tribulations and his second year as the starting quarterback for the Chicago Bears. I also do some scheme analysis over there. You can check out work at places like The Score NFL, where I'm a NFL featured columnist, Matt Waldman's Rookie Scouting Portfolio, Big Blue View, part of the SB Nation of websites, family of websites, covering the New York Giants. As I've said before, if there's a website or an outlet covering football, chances are they've got me doing some work on it for them. Today's show, locked and loaded for you. We're going to talk at the end, very end. I want to talk briefly about guys like Trubisky, Rosen, and Mayfield. Saw some stuff from them this weekend that I liked, so I want to just chat about that for a few minutes. But the focus today is going to be on the Colts. We're going to talk what they do on offense. We're going to talk what they do on defense. But first, we do have to talk about Rob Gronkowski. He did not participate. He was listed as a non-participant on their projected practice report. Since this is a condensed week, the Patriots had to release a practice report for today, Monday, even though they were not fully practicing. He was listed as somebody who did not participate on that report. So his status is definitely up in the air for Thursday night's game against the Indianapolis Colts. And he's a player that the Patriots are going to want to have on the field, as we're going to talk about. But let's talk the Colts and their passing game right now. And obviously coming into this season, many people, myself included, were wondering how Andrew Luck truly was from a health perspective. Was he fully back? And there were some question marks about Andrew Luck over the first couple of weeks of this season, particularly from an average depth of target perspective. People, particularly in the fantasy community, were wondering if he had lost it, if he had sort of taken a real step back. You know, when you look at average depth of target, ADOT, for example, you know, that's a good way to understand like where people are throwing the ball, where their attempts are downfield. Are they throwing it deep or are they shallow type passes? And looking at Andrew Luck going into week four, his average depth of target was about 5 or 5.2 yards, depending on where you were looking at it. That's below average. And I was on, for example, a podcast with Matt Waldman last week, the RSP cast, and we talked about that a bit. And a lot of people sort of in the fantasy community were looking at ADOT, and they brought up the fact, is he really back? Is the shoulder okay? And if you look at that game, for example, against the Eagles that the Colts had, that was played in weather, that was played in conditions, and there were some throws that really hung up there. And I myself even looked at the tape and hand-in-hand with those numbers, started to wonder. Even though, look, Frank Reich's offense, it is more of a West Coast air raid type offense. So a lot of the throws are schemed to be in the short area of the field. But when you see him try to push the ball downfield with velocity and the ball hangs a bit, you start to wonder. You can take that and throw it out the window now, because I think Luck made some throws against Houston. You know, even though that was a game that the Texans ended up winning, the deep shot to T.Y. Hilton, I think you can kind of take those concerns and cast them aside now. I think Luck is back. As for what the Colts do schematically on offense in the passing game, as I mentioned, under Frank Reich, you're going to see some quick game stuff. You're going to see a lot of West Coast air raid type stuff. Picture the Eagles offense last year, and you know what the Eagles were able to do it against this defense last year in the Super Bowl. Some other stuff that they work in, they love curl flat. Curl flat is a basic, you know, West Coast type design where one receiver is running the curl route, usually the inside receiver, other receiver releasing to the flat. They love it mirrored. What that means is you've got the same curl flat look to both sides of the formation. Sometimes it's, you know, slot receiver runs the curl, outside receiver runs a flat to the left, and then to the backside you might have Y ISO, for example, with the tight end. He's running a curl, running back, running the flat, and that third receiver somewhere, he'll run either a curl or a sit route over the middle. So it basically gives the quarterback the same look to both sides of the field, and he just reads best look, best matchup, short side of the field, whatever. he wants to do on a given play. I love mirrored passing concepts for quarterbacks. I think they're a great way to give the quarterback some defined reads. You can still go full field. You can still work it right to left or left to right, however you want to do it. But you know it's the same on both sides. It really speeds up the decision-making process. One of the things they love to do with that, though, is that they love to go sort of curl flat, but then instead of that third receiver, you know, being that sit route over the middle, they love to have that third route in there. Be a post route sort of over the top. It's something they've done a couple of times. They did it against the Eagles twice. You know, they did it on their third drive of the game where they go mirrored curl flat out of trips. But the middle trips receiver, instead of running either curl or flat, he goes post over the top. And so they're going to show you that look, that curl flat, and then you got to be wary of that sort of post route hitting that up over the top. So defense needs to be wary about that. Nyheim Hines, he's a player I talked about a ton in the pre-draft phase. I thought he would fit as a potential sort of like Deion Lewis type replacement. Well, they found a home for him in this offense. They love him on two routes in particular. They love him on wheel routes, and they love him on Texas routes. We all know the wheel route. People love to call it undefeated. It's not undefeated. It's close. It's very, very close. It's as close as you can get to an undefeated play in football. They love the wheel route with him. They hit it for a touchdown against Houston. They love the Texas route as well. That's that route. Shane Vereen, if you're a Patriots fan listening to the show, you know what I'm about to say. Shane Vereen, that sort of Texas route where you start outside out of the backfield, angling towards the outside, and then you break back sort of on a slant. That's a great route, particularly when you get that running back isolated on a linebacker in man-to-man coverage. We know T.Y. Hilton, he hit him for a deep shot in that Houston game, but he's banged up. Probably not good for this week. He was also a non-sort of participant on the Indianapolis practice report for Monday, so he's probably not going to go. Another concept they love. They love sticks, which is basically a curl route right at the first down marker. They love doing that. They will do that, you know, second down, third down, second and long, third and long. You know, so that's a design that you have to really be wary of. They love doing that. Some other route designs that they like, they'll go Mills. You know, they love using that Mills concept where you've got that dig route, then a post route over the top. You know, gives you a nice chance to get a high-low in that middle of the field safety. You know, they ran that multiple times against Houston this week. So that's a route you have to be wary. You know, he hit Curtis Rogers on a post on that. Great velocity and great placement. You know, so again, I think the arm is back, you know, for Andrew Luck. You know, some other route designs that I noticed that the Patriots need to be wary of. They love that reel concept that the Patriots hit for a touchdown, you know, this past week against Miami. They love it too. But he'll throw the slant. You know, you've got that slant and then the wheel from the inside receiver working to the outside. You want to create that rub. The Eagles, when they saw that, they played off. They played sort of zone. And then what they did was, you know, when they sort of played off and switched it, they played sort of zone. Luck threw the slant route instead and took advantage of them, you know, switching it the way they did. With that curl flat, another thing they like to do, I've said they show that post. They'll do post and go too. You know, coming back to that curl flat mirror design. You know, sometimes when that third route is a post route over the top, they'll go post, and then that receiver that runs the post will then break vertically. So you might see that curl flat. You start to get, you know, anxious on that one, then they show you that post route over the top. Maybe that beats you a couple times. You look for that, then they show you post and go. They've been setting up a lot of stuff on that mirrored curl flat with that extra route, that post route. So definitely have to be wary of that. Let's talk their run game for a bit. We'll start with some numbers. Their run game, not great. They're averaging 72 yards per game on the ground, fourth lowest in the league. They're minus 13.52 expected points per game. That's what their run game does for them right now. That's seventh worst in the league. They've put it on the ground four times. 3.6 yards per attempt. That's tied for the third lowest in the league. And part of it is they're banged up for a couple of reasons. You know, Anthony Costanzo, their left tackle, he hasn't played yet. Joe Haig, he was out against Houston. And if you want another sense of how their run game has struggled, they're averaging 7.21 yards to go on second down, meaning they're not getting a ton on first down. When they run the ball in first down, just 3.85 yards per play, running it on first down. By contrast, New England, 4.27 when they run it on first down. So there's your juxtaposition. You're worried about the Patriots' run game. Oh boy, the Colts are struggling. You know, so it is a problem with the injuries. In terms of what they like to do, watch Quentin Nelson. He will lead you to the football. Their favorite play, and I double-checked this with my buddy Mike Kist at Michael Kist NFL, Eagles reporter for Bleeding Green Nation. You know, he just got done sort of checking out and breaking down what they do, what the Colts love to do on the ground. And he confirmed it with me when he was studying these guys. Their favorite play by far is a quick little run to the right with Quentin Nelson, their rookie left guard, pulling from left to right. They love pulling him. They ran it, I think, their first three run plays against Philly were that play. They're like me back when I was playing Madden. I mean, not Madden. NCAA 2014. My favorite run play was, you know, I would go spread up tempo, and I would have two run plays in my sort of script of plays. I would have halfback draw, and I have a speed option. And I would just run those two running plays into the ground until you or the computer could stop me. And they're like that with that quick little pull with Quentin Nelson. So find 56. He's the left guard. He was arguably the best player in the draft last year. He will lead you to the football. So that's a quick look at what they do on the offensive side of the ball. Up next, we're going to talk about what the Colts do defensively. We got some zone coverage beaters to talk about. But first, before we get into all of that, our new friends, our great new partners at LowKI, I want to remind you about our great relationship we have with them and how I'm so excited about having them on board. Look, you want some extra swag for game day? LowKI has your back with their brand new game day collection. I've not been a big jewelry or bracelet guy. Sometimes I'll wear the Fitbit, but even that doesn't do it for me. I'm not really a watch person, but I've been wearing my LowKI Patriots game day bracelet from the moment I wake up to the moment I go to bed ever since I got my hands on it. It is fantastic. I love it. This bracelet comes in Patriots colors. And get this, it holds water from Mount Everest, the highest place on Earth, and mud from the Dead Sea, the lowest place on Earth. It's set up that way. It's a daily reminder to keep balance in your life between the highs and the lows that come your way. Listeners to the show know that I'm all about striking that mental balance, that mental harmony. This bracelet also reminds me to do that in my life. Since they are friends of the show, they are offering you an exclusive discount of 25% off all game day collection bracelets. These things are fantastic. Get your hands on one. Get one of these on your wrist. Just use the promo code Patriots25 when checking out and boom, you can thank me later. Go to LOKAI.com and use the promo code Patriots25 to take advantage of this amazing deal. Up next, a look at what the Colts do on defense. That's ahead with me, Mark Schofield, and Locked On Patriots. Mark Schofield back with you now on this Tape Tuesday installment of Locked On Patriots. And we're going to talk about the Colts on the defensive side of the ball right now. And the main thing that I noticed, and this jumped out immediately when I was breaking down their tape, was this. Cover 2. This is almost exclusive cover 2 defense in the secondary. I was amazed at how much they actually ran it. I went back and looked at their game against Washington. I looked at their game against Houston. I looked at their game against the Eagles. This is almost a predominantly cover 2 team. They were rotated at times. You know, there were times when teams would motion from a 2x2 formation into a 3x1, and they'd rotate into a cover 3 single high type look. But this is a cover 2 team. And if you come out in 3x1, and they've got cover 2 called, they'll roll with it. And so you've got to have your cover 2 beaters ready. We'll get into those into a minute. You know, what was amazing was Washington. It almost, when they played Washington, it seemed like the Redskins almost weren't ready for how much cover 2 they were going to face. So they were running a lot of single high coverage beaters, a lot of man coverage beaters. And then you see them flip the script into the second half. They clearly made the halftime adjustments because they come out in the second half. The offense gets clicking because they're running the cover 2 beaters, which we're going to talk about. This is a cover 2 heavy team. They do so much, you know, with two deep safety type stuff. And when you look at sort of the, you know, the defensive personnel, you might understand why they're doing it this way. I mean, this is a front that's got some weaknesses. It's a linebacker core that, look, Darius Leonard is a fantastic young rookie, you know, but Najee Good and Anthony Walker, these are some, you know, these aren't the best of players, let's put it that way. And you've got some corners in Nate Harrison and Clayton Geathers, you know, guys that might need some dedicated help over the top. And so you do that with Hooker and Moore. And Malik Hooker is a player. Kenny Moore is, Gaithers is the safety. So it's Nate Harrison and Kenny Moore are their corners. Quincy Wilson gets into the mix as well. But it's Clayton Gaithers and Malik Hooker. Again, it doesn't really change the calculus. They need dedicated safety help. And so they give it to him. And so I'm not surprised to see this roster go with a lot of cover two. Darius Leonard is a player. You know, if you're going to run the ball on this team, you're going to want to run to the edges and try to get away from him as much as you can. You know, let's look at some of the cover two beater type plays that you're going to want to see, that I'm going to want to see the Patriots have in their game plan. Four verticals is one of them. And a prime example of this is a play that I saw from Josh Rosen, you know, against the Seattle Seahawks this week where they caught him in cover two. They ran four verticals out of that double Y wing. With two tight ends and a win, you go four verticals to that side. Inside guy will occupy that safety. Outside guy has a chance to sort of bend outside and get upfield, get inside leverage against that outside corner. You know, Rosen made a great throw to Ricky Seals-Jones on that design against the Seahawks. That's something I would love to see with Gronkowski and Hollister, provided Gronkowski can go. The main sort of cover two beater that I've seen teams used against him, the Eagles did it a ton. The Redskins in the second half, they did it a ton. Texans did it. It was the flat seven smash combination. That's where you have a flat route towards the sideline to occupy that corner, and then that corner route from the inside receiver usually that works away from that safety. So that flat route occupies that cornerback, keeps him down near the line of scrimmage, and then you can get that corner route over the top of it. All these teams did it, and one of the things they really did it with was you would go Y ISO. So you would have your running back and your tight end alone to one side of the formation. That Y ISO formation, that 3-by-1 look, which, as I said, the Colts will stay in that, you know, cover two coverage if you, you know, show them that pre-snap. So just imagine Gronkowski running that corner route, White or Michelle running that flat route. That's the combination I expect to see a ton of if the Patriots can go, because that gets you a chance to get Gronkowski isolated on that safety with no help anywhere nearby. You know, if they're going to be willing to stay in sort of that cover two, you've got to be able to hit that route. You've got to be able to hit that to Rob Gronkowski. If they want to go cover two man underneath, then okay, he's going to have to work against a linebacker with safety help. But that's an advantageous type situation because he's initially working against a linebacker, and then you should be able to get that leverage advantage working towards the outside. Even though it's going to be technically kind of like a double team, that's still a route they can hit. Some other stuff you can do. Diggs, the dagger concept. Yeah, Brady just threw an interception on one, but if you heard Tom Brady on WEEI, you know, as I broke down that play last night, without the benefit of the All-22 or things like that, I said, look, this is probably just an example of great tape study because that's not often what you see. You don't often see that inside corner carrying that seam route, then peel off and take the dig. And Tom Brady said it was the first time he had seen anybody do that to him ever, but it was something that the Patriots do a lot. And so there you go. There's evidence that your boy can get it done off the broadcast tape. I don't need this All-22 stuff. I know what I'm talking about. Okay, I kind of know what I'm talking about. But anyway, you can still run that dagger with that inside vertical route and that outside dig route. It's a perfect route to throw against cover two because, again, that seam route occupies the safety. You come back in and you fill that void that's been vacated with that dig route, now working away from that corner that's going to pass it off to the inside. So that's a great one to do. You can go Yankee concept as well. You know, I know Yankees typically looked at as more of a cover, you know, one cover three type beer, but you can get those little digs, those crossers in that space behind those linebackers and in front of those safeties now. You know, that's an area where you really want to attack. So dig routes, Yankee, you can do that. Mills is another good route combination to throw against this because, again, you get that digged out working behind those linebackers. That safety's going to try to split, that post route's going to try to split those safeties. So that's another good design to go to. That's some of the pass game stuff. Run game, main thing, outside runs. Run to the edges. You look at, you know, what the Colts defense does, you know, let me just check in my notes here. Yeah, flat seven smash, you know, posts and stuff like that to try to split those two safeties. You can do that. So that's pass game stuff. Outside runs. That's the way to do it. You know, they're pretty stout on the inside, especially with Leonard. You can go outside on them. You can go inside zone, look for cutbacks. You can go outside zone when you're flowing to the outside from the start. Crack toss is another one. Philly had a big gain against the Colts on a crack toss type play. That's something we've seen with Trent Brown. They like pulling Trent Brown in front of Sony Michel, but then you get Hogan cracking inside, or Edelman now that he's back cracking inside. So that's the kind of stuff I expect to run. Run to the edges, try to split those safeties deep in the middle of the field. Bring your cover two beaters to bear, flat seven smash being the main one. I want to see if he can go a lot of Gronkowski and Y iso with Michelle or White behind him working that flat seven smash combination. Up next, a few quick thoughts. Josh Rosen, Baker Mayfield, Mitchell Trubisky. Saw some really good things from those guys that I just want to talk about briefly. And I think it's time. I think it's time to tell the tale of the glory, of the meaning behind the glorious victory title to the, you know, Victory Monday type podcast. I honestly don't remember if I've shared that story before. If I have, it's just new for the new listeners. Now you'll know. If it's new for everybody, then fantastic. New for everybody. That's ahead with me, Mark Schofield, and Locked On Patriots. But before we do that, look, folks, Patriots playing Thursday night. Maybe you're feeling a little bit better about this team. Maybe you're feeling like, all right, I know where they stand right now. Because I know other people have been asking me, is it time to go in on the Patriots now? They just got this huge win. And the truth is, I don't know yet. But if you think you know, you got to check out my bookie, because who you're betting on, it's important. Where you're betting on, where you're betting, that's even more important. And that's why I always tell people to go to my bookie. Trust me, guys, they are your best bet this season. They've been in business for years. They have great reviews online, and their mobile site is so user-friendly. I would only recommend a service to my listeners that has been good to me, and that's why I'm urging you to make your way to my bookie right now. They have in-game, live betting, over-unders on fantasy points scored, and the most rewarding player perks in the business. But because of all that, they are slammed with new bettors, but they still want to give everybody the best service possible. So here's the thing. If you can wait, they will give you an additional $25 free play on deposits over $100 if you can wait after 7 p.m. Eastern. So join now. MyBookie will match your deposit dollar for dollar, no matter which way you go. If you can't wait, use promo code LOCKEDON to activate the offer. If you can wait, if you can wait until after 7 p.m., you'll get that extra $25. Use promo code LOCKEDON25. You will get an extra $25. Either way, they will match you dollar for dollar, 100% up to $1,000. But if you can wait, get that extra 25, use promo code LOCKEDON25. It's up to you guys, but I'd wait until after dinner and take the extra money. My bookie, you play, you win, you get paid. Mark Schofield back with you. Going to talk quickly about Josh Rosen, Mitchell Trubisky, Baker Mayfield, and the myth behind the title, The Glorious Victory Edition of Locked On Patriots. Josh Rosen, a couple words on him. I was blown away with his performance. I watched some of it live. I went back and I watched the All-22 on it. That guy made some big boy, big girl type throws, man. Like the vertical route he threw to Ricky Seals-Jones was incredible. He had another throw to him on a deep over route, which is incredible. The pocket movement from him was incredible, dare I say Brady-esque, which was something I even said in his pre-draft process. That was who he would have to emulate. He's not an athlete. He's not going to outrun people. He's not Lamar Jackson, but he moved around incredibly well. The stat line didn't show it, but I thought it was a fantastic first start for him. Yeah, it's against Seattle, and Seattle's defense isn't what it used to be. Earl Thomas got hurt in that game. It was still a game filled with some big boy, big girl type throws. I was very impressed with Josh Rosen and his first start. Speaking of first starts, Baker Mayfield. And Baker did some Baker things. That was a game that I think Browns fans have a right to be angry about that they didn't win. There was a spot that didn't go their way. You know, there was some stuff at the end that didn't go their way. Hugh Jackson, even after that spot, he might have wanted to go for it. I know you're in your own territory. It's your own 18-yard line. But a couple of inches, you ice that game. You know, Mayfield threw a pick six early, rebounded from that. I kind of don't agree with the decision he made near the end of regulation. I thought, you know, with one timeout left, you had a chance to check it down. Doesn't seem like they're that confident in their kicker, but he forced one that got picked off. You know, he had some fumble issues there as well. You know, so there were some mistakes, but Baker still challenging the middle of the field, moving in the pocket well. I was impressed with him. Wasn't blown away. I was more impressed with Rosen than Baker on Sunday, but still, two very young, talented, exciting quarterbacks that are just going to get better. Speaking of getting better, everybody in Chicago can back away from the ledge right now. You know, as somebody that is chronicling Mitchell Trubisky this season. You know, I do a piece, comes out every Tuesday over at Pro Football Weekly, breaking down Trubisky. And, you know, I caught like I see it. I have no obvious investment or rooting interest or anything like that when it comes to Trubisky. You know, he was my QB4. I would love to see him succeed because I'd love to see all quarterbacks succeed. So I just kind of like go in surgical and, you know, clinical style and try to break it down. In the past couple of weeks, I pointed out some of the good, some of the bad. And it's interesting, similarly to when I wrote about Eli Manning at the beginning of the year. Bears fans just haven't seemed ready to buy in on this guy. And with that defense, all they need is just capable quarterback play, and they could legitimately make a run in that NFC North and beyond with that kind of defense if they just get competent quarterback play. But they go down to Arizona last week, narrow victory. Trubisky missed some throws in that game. People were not happy. You actually saw people on Twitter saying it's time for Chase Daniel. You know, that's the mentality in Chicago around this kid right now. What does he do? Well, Matt Nagy says, look, the breakout, it's coming. It's a work in progress. It's a new offense. We're getting on the same page. We're almost there. Just be patient. The breakout is coming. And he comes out six tutties. Six. One, two, three, four, five, six against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Now, this is a secondary Tampa Bay's that is banged up, that is bad, that has made other quarterbacks look like Mahomes, you know, given, you know, the numbers that other quarterbacks have putting up against them. So there is an element to that. But Trubisky still had a very, very solid afternoon. Six touchdown passes is probably more than solid. I'm probably even underselling it. But he did some very nice things. Nagy did some stuff schematically from, you know, post-wheel combinations to even a Bob Stitt homage with a fly sweep with both Chase Daniel and Trubisky in the backfield and the shotgun waiting for the snap, which I thought was super creative. Huge day from Trubisky. Hope to see it continue so Bears fans can stop worrying about Trubisky. And now, again, I honestly don't remember if I've shared this story before or not, but since I was called out on it by my great friends over at Rock Pile Report, a fantastic, fantastic Bills podcast, you guys should check them out. I've been on with them a ton, you know, and they do such great stuff over there, and, you know, they're really good guys. Drew and Chris, they are at Rock Pile Report on Twitter. And when I tweeted out the Glorious Victory episode, you know, early on Monday morning, you know, they hit me back, and they hit me back with a Princess Bride gif. And it's that, you know, with Edega Montoya's, like, you keep using that word. I do not think it means what you think it means. You know, trying to make fun of me calling the win over the Dolphins Glorious Victory. And so I said, look, it's a tradition thing. And they said that they understood, and that was fair. But it reminded me that there get more and more new listeners to the show every week. I'm overjoyed at the numbers, but people might not understand the reason behind the Glorious Victory title for the, you know, Victory podcasts. And again, I don't remember. I'm a man. I'm 41. I don't remember everything. So I don't know if I've shared this story before. And so here's what it is. It's an inside joke, basically to me, an homage to my days as a lawyer. You know, because when I was started out, I was working for a young, energetic, shall we say aggressive, shall we say competitive partner at a firm, a trial lawyer. And, you know, he was very, just competitive is a nice way to put it. And whenever he tried a case and got a favorable result, let's put it that way. So, you know, we were doing insurance defense stuff. So say, you know, our client was getting sued for $1 million and the verdict came back. It was just for like, you know, 50,000 or whatever. And it was well below, you know, what we were willing to settle it for or something like that. He would write his, like, closeout letter to send along with the final report and then eventually, you know, get billed for it or whatever. And he would describe the trial. And then when he got near, it was time to unveil what the result was. And he would say in the letter, and then what happened next can only be described as dot, dot, dot. And again, this is like regular letter, like standard font, whatever. And then in like this script, like, you know, 72-point font, he would write out, so you've got the regular text saying, you know, and then what happened next can only be described as dot, 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 and then the massive script font, a glorious victory. And so that's what how he would refer to his trials. And whenever he got a favorable result, he would say, he would, no matter what it was, whether it was like a, you know, a verdict in his favor or just a verdict where you don't have to pay that much money, didn't matter. It was all a glorious victory. And I remember the first time I saw it, I was dying with laughter. And to this day, you know, over a decade later, I still laugh just thinking about seeing, you know, some of these letters on our firm's letterhead, just this huge script, glorious victory. And so when it came time to come up with a title for the victory shows, I was like, what's better than describing it as a glorious victory, even if it's just funny to me? Well, since I got called out on it, I figured it was time to share. So that is the meaning behind the glorious victory title for the Victory Monday shows. Hopefully we get another one this Friday, another glorious victory edition of Locked On Patriots. But I will be back tomorrow. We'll do some crossover stuff. Matt Dannelly from SB Nation, the Colts website, he's going to come on and talk a little Indianapolis Colts. And then, you know, boom, we're into Thursday, and it's already game day. Quick week here. Quick turnaround. I'll be here for you every step of the way. Until next time, keep it locked right here to me, Mark Schofield, and Locked On Patriots.